I think I've mentioned this a few times since we started the book of 1 John. The Apostle John is often called the Apostle of Love because so much of his writings, both in his letters and in his gospel, right, the Gospel of John, work us through what it means to love, to give love, to receive love, kind of to practice love, if you will. Well, today we're going to see this laid right out for us. In fact, I've entitled this message, Love Fest, because we're going to camp on the topic of love probably this week and next, actually. So let's get to it, starting with verse 7 of 1 John chapter 4. So 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. You're going to keep the lights on for me? Awesome. You guys are working me over. It says this, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. And I think it's kind of funny that John starts this section of this letter by calling us his beloved, because he is about to tell us a whole lot about love. So he's saying this, just by writing this letter to you, I am demonstrating love toward you. Beloved, I love you so much that I have taken time, inspired by God, to write to you and instruct you and encourage you, admonish you, correct you in how to love one another. And we've talked about this before. We kind of have to refocus a bit when we talk about love, like John is talking about love. See, the evil one, Satan, has done this tremendously good job of watering down what this word truly means, right? This kind of love is not casual. This kind of love is not superficial. This kind of love is not kind of laissez-faire, right? In fact, the kind of love John is inspiring to exercise is the same kind of love that Jesus Christ demonstrated on the cross, the kind of love that we kind of just talked about in the Lord's Supper. Let me ask you, is the cross casual? No. Is the cross superficial? No. Not in the least, right? This kind of love is self-sacrificing. This kind of love is unconditional. And this kind of love is, quite frankly, so different than what most of the world calls love. So John tells us in verse 7, let us love one another. And then he gives us the good reason, right? We all kind of need a good reason sometimes to get motivated. And the good reason is, for love is from God. And if we are from God, if we are born of God, and that just means born again of spirit, then we know what it means to be loved by God. If you celebrated the Lord's Supper today for the purpose of remembering the forgiveness of your sins and remembering your gift of salvation, then you know what it means to be loved by God. We know what it means to experience the self-sacrificing, unconditional love of God because it's what Jesus showed us on the cross. Romans 5, verse 8 puts it really well. I quote this a lot, but God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The substitutionary atonement of Jesus for my sins and for yours was a demonstration of love from God bestowed upon us. It's not casual. It's not superficial. And John is calling us to love one another like Jesus demonstrated to us. So who's God calling you to love today? Who did God call you to love last week? And did you do it? Did I demonstrate the love of God to that person or that family that God brought to mind? Well, if not, then confess and repent, right? His mercies are new every morning. I'm not here to beat us all up. I'm here to help us be encouraged to listen to that still small voice that tells us who needs love and then act on what we hear. And I need to hear this as well. I need to hear this as well. Too often I've ignored the voice in favor of doing my own stuff. Selfish, not selfless. Am I alone? I didn't think so. Well, God's quick to point that out to me. And then I have to confess and I have to repent and then look and work to get it right next time. That's the point, right? Not just to feel regret and remorse, but to learn. And maybe we're in the same boat together. Well, together we can learn to get it right next time. See, I believe that that is just simply part of the sanctification process, right? Being made holy. Look with me now at verse 8 of 1 John 4. It says this, "The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love." This is a really short verse, but boy, it contains a very important truth. And the important truth is found in the very character of God. John tells us God is love. And why is this so important? One reason is that many religions that speak of God do not see God as love. Did you know that? See, if you do not believe in Jesus Christ, his life, death, burial, and resurrection, then you are missing the full display of God's love. Do you see that? If you have not experienced salvation, then you have not experienced the love of God. If you have not experienced the forgiveness of your sins, then you have not experienced the love of God. And then the question becomes, how can we demonstrate something that we've never experienced ourselves? And the answer is simple. We cannot. We cannot. Have you ever been in a new job and they ask you to do something that nobody has trained you to do? Anybody been in that situation? Kind of a nightmare, right? And it's pretty difficult to figure out without any training, without anybody demonstrating how to do the job, how to do the job. See, that is what John is after here. How can we love if we have not yet experienced the love of God? See, the world demonstrates for us a perversion of love. Satan tells us it is an emotion. He tells us it's a feeling, and he tells us that it is conditional. If they treat you badly, then you're under no obligation to love them, meaning he sells us the lie that love can be conditional. Yet we just saw that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. See, this shows us the absolute opposite of conditional love. For if it was conditional, why would Jesus die for sinners? They're already missing the mark. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 really tells us the story. Paul tells us this, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, and not as a result of works, so that no one may boast." Grace, see, God's grace, it is his unmerited, undeserved favor. God offers us this free gift, not because of anything we did, but because we are his creation and he loves us. Our salvation is not granted because we earned it, for God knows what we would do with that. We would boast in our works. We're such a prideful creature. So unconditional, self-sacrificing love is part of God's character. And not all who call themselves religious understand this element of his character. But for the Christian, see, it is central to our understanding, or it should be. For it then drives us in how we serve God. We serve out of love. Look with me now at verse 9 of 1 John 4. By this, the love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him. And we can find in a number of New Testament verses that say, before salvation, we were dead in our transgressions. We saw it this morning in Colossians 3, right? In Sunday school. And John is reminding us here that the love of God was manifested in us, meaning it is demonstrated through us. How? Well, like this. God sent his Son, and God made a way for us to live through Christ. See, without Jesus, we would still be dead in our transgressions. We would still be slaves to our sins, and the wages of sin is death. Sin separates us from God, so God made a way to be reconciled to him through his Son, Jesus Christ. Through the shed blood of Jesus, our sins are put as far as the east is from the west, and God remembers them no more. Aren't you glad? Are you awake? Okay. And all we must do, see, is confess those sins. All we must do is ask forgiveness for those sins and repent. And with God's help, we can repent from those sins. Friends, see, that is love, right? Demonstrated clearly to anyone who would receive him. Receive, that is, Jesus as Lord and Savior. See, here is one of those things that separate the Christians from many other religions. The people in most other religions spend all of their time and energy reaching up to God or their version of God in efforts to appease him. But Christianity sees God as our loving Father who reaches down to us, pulls us up out of the miry clay and sets our feet upon the solid rock. We don't have to look for God, for the scriptures tell us that Jesus stands at the door and knocks. He desires for us to open the door of our hearts and let him in. And we see this, right, in the book of Revelation, chapter 3, verse 20. The very words of Christ. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and will dine with him and he with me. Friends, this is not an ambivalent God that cares nothing for us. This is not a God who intends to wait until we somehow discover him on a mountaintop in Tibet. This is not a God who is just out there somewhere. This is a God that pursues us. He's at the door and he's knocking. He's telling us, here I am. Receive me into your life. Invite me into your heart. Invite me into your home. That, my friends, is a God of love. Look at me now at verse 10. In this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. I think this might be my favorite verse of the morning today. John is continuing his thought about how God demonstrated his love for us. Not only did God send his Son to this earth, meaning he lost his constant contact. He lost his constant fellowship with his Son, contact that he has had since before time began. But now John reminds us of why Jesus came. God's own Son came to this earth not only to set for us a perfect example, but more importantly, to be the propitiation for our sins. That's a really big word that simply means this. Our sins, see, are a form of disobedience. And in my family, disobedience typically did not go unpunished. Anybody else in that situation? Right? And since God is completely righteous and God is completely just, disobedience never goes unpunished. Parents, take note. So Jesus took upon himself the punishment for our sins, my sins and your sins. We sing a song quite often that says this, "The wrath of God was satisfied." Remember that one? This statement is the perfect description for the propitiation of our sins. The wrath of God was satisfied by what Christ did on the cross. Here is the important point to consider. See, the facts of the matter are this. We deserve the wrath of God. Isn't that it's kind of a scary thing to say out loud, isn't it? But we deserve the wrath of God. We deserve the punishment. We did the crimes, and we are supposed to do the time. But, I love this but in a demonstration of his great love for his creation, he sent Jesus to suffer in our place. God loved us first. And John tells us just how he loved us in hopes that we would see and understand how and why we are to love him back and then love others as well. I think one of the more recent tools of Satan that I've seen being used with some effectiveness is this idea that everyone is good. Everyone's okay. Everyone's good. Everyone gets a trophy. The kid having a meltdown just needs some time and some space to work things out. No need for anyone to suffer the consequences for bad behavior. Folks, this is a lie of the evil one. Do not be swayed from God's truth. Look now how John encourages us to react to the love that Christ demonstrated to us, found in verse 11. He gives us this term again, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." See, John is looking to provide us some serious motivation, something to spur us on, something to encourage us, something to kind of light a fire in us. And we need this. I need this. And tell me if I'm not alone in this. If I am personally not in the Word, or if I miss a Sunday, if I drift away even for a little while, I can find myself forgetting the motivation for loving one another. I need the reminder. I need to remember his great love for me and how his desire is that I love others as I have been loved. And let's face it, man, some of us are easier to love than others, which also means some of us are harder to love than others. See, I need the Holy Spirit most days to work in me and through me to help me love others as God has loved me. You ever need that help? Yep. And we cannot, John just told us this, we cannot love others if we have not experienced this same love. But if we have experienced this love from God, then our charge must be to love others as we have been loved. We talked about this in Sunday school, we must pour into others what has been poured into us. See, there's nothing more selfish than to hang on to something so precious that literally cost us nothing but time to share. Right? Oh, you may share your resources as well, and I hope you do, but do not be stingy with love. Don't be stingy with it. Look with me at verse 12. "No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. I'm not sure who originally said this, but the saying goes something like this, and I'm not getting this completely right. I know that, so forgive me. But it says something like, be a witness for God, and if necessary, use words. Right? You've heard a saying similar to that, right? See, what John is telling us is that we may be the only example of the love of God that someone may ever see. Nobody can drive to a place and see God, right? Yes, we can see evidence of his handiwork, right? We can go to the top of Quill Hill, or we can go to Ira Mountain, and we can see over his creation, right? But that's not God. That's just evidence of his handiwork. But to see the love of God demonstrated to mankind, hopefully one only need to look to the Christian community to see this. And to take it down sort of to the next level, one would only need to look at you or look at me and see that God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. Did you know that you are a part of God's grand plan? Did you know that each of us is woven into the tapestry of all creation that God made before time began? We are part of the story. We're a thread in his tapestry. So when we demonstrate the love of God, it will be clear to those who do not know God that something is different. Something's unique. Something is good. And in that moment, see, we will be literally earning the invitation to have the conversation. See, demonstrating the love of God does not require words, but the telling of the gospel does, right? And I hope and pray that we are a people, that we are a church that does both, right? That we demonstrate the love of God and then we tell people the gospel. Look now at verse 13. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. It seems I get asked this one question a lot. How do I know if I'm really saved? Anybody heard that question asked of them maybe? You're kind of like, here's the answer. We get the answer this morning. Isn't it beautiful? Right here in verse 13. Do you want to know if you've been saved? Ask yourself this. Does the Holy Spirit abide in me? Have we received the gift of the Holy Spirit? So let me put this test, if you will, in another context. Do you know when you have sinned? Does it cause you a sense of remorse or regret? Now, be careful. I'm not talking about the regret that comes from being caught. I'm sorry I got caught. That doesn't work. That doesn't fit. I'm flat out sorry because I've offended. That works. So we're talking about the remorse and regret that happens whether or not anyone else knows what you have done or what you have not done. Do we sense a higher calling than simply serving ourselves? Let me put that another way. Do we see the needs all around us, or are we blind to them because we are all about doing our own thing? See, these, John gives us, these are measures. These are things that come with the Holy Spirit, for he helps us see the sin in our lives, both sins of commission, right? Things that we have done or things that we do that grieve God, and then also the sins of omission, the things that we do not do that we should do to please God. And if you have no idea what I'm talking about, you might want to consider if you've really been saved. If you understand what I'm saying and you are experiencing the leading and the guiding or the admonition of the Holy Spirit, then according to John, we can now know that we abide in him and he abides in us, right? Well, we're going to continue the love fest of chapter 4 next week, so I hope you'll join us again. But here's what I hope we saw today. I hope we saw that love, the love of God, is an action word, right? He actively loved us by sending his son to die in our place. And the Apostle John, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is encouraging us. He is exhorting us to love one another as God has loved us. And John even gave us all the reasoning behind this exhortation. God loved me, go love others as God has loved you. And I get it. It is not natural. It requires more than sometimes we are prepared to give. But see, the Holy Spirit will equip us to do the work that God is calling us to do. If he's calling you, he'll equip you. One of the things that kind of came out of our men's Bible study, I've already written all this, so I'm now ad-libbing, so bear with me. One of the things that came out of our men's Bible study is sometimes I think we talk a lot about what we're supposed to go and do, go and do, go and do. And why not, right? Great Commission is all about that. But sometimes I think we miss the point of the Christian community, and that sometimes we might need a little somebody doing for us. And that doing may be something very like needs-based, you know, we need our wood done, we need something like that. But sometimes it's, man, I need somebody to talk to. I need somebody to confess to. So we can talk about going and loving, but I want to encourage us also to not be afraid, if you will, to allow somebody to come and love us, right? Not be afraid to say, I'm hurting and I could really use some love. I'm struggling and I could really use somebody just to talk to. Right. One of the guys yesterday said, you know, when I first came to Christ, he said, I was working so hard to get things right. And I there were still some things I was struggling with and I couldn't seem to quite get over them. And I felt like I was failing. Then I sat down with one of the kind of a mentor figure in my church. And he started to tell me about the sins in his own life and how he has to confess those regularly. I'm like, what? You struggle? I didn't know that. I didn't know that everybody struggles. I thought I was in this all by myself. Why? Because nobody's talking about stuff, right? In a family, I'm from a big family. In a big family, you kind of know what's going on in the lives of your brothers and sisters, right? You kind of know their warts, their faults. And I always get a kick out of it. You go somewhere and they'll say, oh, I know your family. They're great. Everybody's wonderful.
Yeah.
You know all the dirty little secrets, right? And I don't want to say we want to know everybody's dirty little secrets, but I think we do need to know each other better in order to minister to each other better, right? So we can talk about loving others, but let's not forget that we're also to be on the receiving end of that sometimes when the need is there. And we need to be willing to be vulnerable enough to say, that's where I'm at right now. I just need some love. So may we step out in faith and love others as Christ loved us. May we also be willing to be vulnerable enough to allow others to love us like Christ loved them. All right? Let's pray. Oh, Father, we're just grateful for your word. We're grateful for the way you've worked in and through the Apostle John to give us this letter. I think sometimes people are intimidated by the word love because it's been so overused and so manipulated by the evil one. But we see it so perfectly demonstrated in this letter this morning. May we take that to heart. May we understand the true breadth and depth of the love that you've bestowed upon us, that we might, in that gratitude for that, love others as you've loved us. Father, if there are some here that don't understand this love, have never experienced this love, Lord, I pray today is the day you knock the scales from their eyes, that you open their hearts and transform it more into the image of your Son, Jesus. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.